Blog Talk Radio.
All right, let's see if we got the mute button problem fixed here. Yeah, got that mute button off. I did it right. I knew I could get it right on the third attempt. Welcome, good morning. This is an unofficial, unapproved, unorthodox, unmutual union meeting. Are you in Local 241 or Local 308? Or maybe one of the others that work at the CTA? Welcome. You can listen. You can participate because we have problems and we need to solve them. For the betterment of ourselves, our coworkers, and the people for whom, if they did not exist, we would not have a job. All right. Still got this a little delay here. Pardon me. Trying to make sure we got this audio just right. I apologize. We're going to get it right. All right. So, Local 308 is having another sponsored barbecue, and this one, let me see if I can, you know, I was testing on the wrong show. Let's see if I get this right. We're on episode 17. That should do it, and we should listen. You should be able to get my test here. But Local 308 is having our barbecue at the union office. And I do hear myself, so I can turn that off there. What's up with that? Look at the flyer here on the little slideshow. You can see. What is BBS? BBS is an insurance company. And well, it caused quite a stir quite a few months ago at Local 308 and now 241 because unilaterally our presidents made the decision to work with them and terminate our terms that we had established with Aflac. So this has been an issue of great controversy. Now, in yesterday's program, we offered suggestions as far as questions you might want to bring to the BBS representative that'll be there today at 12:30. So they had their little gathering, their barbecue yesterday, and they're having it today at 12:30. You go down there, we have some questions that will help you make the right decision for yourself, but also for the members, because this is, again, very controversial. The unions worked very hard years ago to work out the arrangement with Aflac, and that suddenly just disappeared. So the other issue is that BBS is the insurance company owned by the brother of the Democratic or Democrat, whatever you call him, candidate Joe Biden, candidate for president. I forgot which Biden, but it is Joe Biden's brother. And of course, the ATU also sponsored Joe Biden, sponsored, endorsed. So the international endorsed without consulting with the, letting the locals decide what they want to do. And of course, the locals just went with the international because it's business unionism. It's a top down, shut up and obey chain of command structure that relies on power and control over people. It is old fashioned and unuseful. I see we got a caller here, and this looks like a very familiar phone number here. Let me see if I can put you off of mute. And let's see, we have, go ahead. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Oh, it's my co-host, Sister Kathy. So now you know, because you were a switchman, now you know the CTA has changed that nomenclature now. You familiar with that?
Oh, no. What'd they do?
So if you were back at the terminal, you would be called a switching person.
Big deal.
A switch person. Which is very important, right? Very important that we get that name just right, because, you know, it's not like we have other important things like pension and health insurance,
right,
and safety. Right. We're going to make sure we're going to call you a switching person, the switching personnel.
Yeah, yeah, I'm there full of baloney.
So
I'm eating breakfast, so I'm sorry.
Well, you know what? When you're done, come on in. Go ahead and eat. And whenever you're ready to speak, I don't want you to talk while you're eating, because that is a safety hazard.
Okay, I listen to you.
Yeah, and you know, I had a dream last night that I was going to work, and we were all lining up to go into the classroom. Because I'm in training, and there were two safety men there, and they were just staring at us as we were going in, and then they were staring at me, and there was a sign that said "must wear a mask," and I realized, oh my God, I'm not wearing a mask, and they were looking at me, and I'm like, dang, they're gonna give me a 2-year safety violation. And so I'm running all over, going to stores and everything inside the terminal. It was crazy. And I woke up. I couldn't find a mask. And so I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to get his safety. And, you know, I got, like, tons of safety. So one more safety, I'm out of here. You know what I mean? So.
Hey. Do they give people safeties if they write them up for not wearing a mask?
2 years, yes.
Oh, I didn't know that, Eric. Oh, my God. Oh, that's terrible. That's terrible.
And you know, we brought this up at the union meeting in July. You know what we were told? We were told, we'll see what happens. Just let us keep us updated on what happens, and we'll send an email to the GM, or we'll send an email to some upper management.
Well, I think that's something you could really organize around with a petition or something to get people in motion. I can't believe that. And the date is not even, you know, I mean, the mask that we wear and the public wears, it's not the same as those N95s. Those are a lot different. Oh, my goodness. That's terrible.
I'm hearing just terrible stuff, you know. And, of course, you know, it's arbitrary. It's not like every day. They just set up a sting operation, you know. If you're lucky, you're not there, right? but, of course, here on the Chicago area transit workers show, we are not endorsing anyone to walk around CTA property without a mask.
Right. Do they give people masks, or you got to buy your own?
Well, you know, they give us these little washable thingies, these washable masks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not N95, and of course you're not being fitted for them,
right?
Really. So you see a lot of people wear, like, I just went ahead and bought my own with, you know, like, cute little designs and stuff, obnoxious
right.
things,
mm-hmm.
Because, you know, that's what I do. I annoy people. But, it's kind of sad. It's sad. It's not kind of sad. It's thing. Back in April, during the massive outbreak, our union office, specifically our secretary, was taking care of it with upper management. So, you know, she posted some photos of her talking with some upper managers, and she got us the cloth masks. And, of course, you know, the cloth masks are not going to work when it comes to you, being exposed to the virus, right? It's somewhat of a barrier for you if you're sick to keep from spreading it to others, you know. But none of us, Kathy, are trained. No one is being trained on how to use any type of mask in the gloves. We're doing everything all wrong. And what we're doing is we're actually exposing ourselves to more of the virus, you know, because a lot of us are touching our mask. We touch the front of it. We put it on a table. We put it in our pants. And I'm not,
right.
It's not putting people down. It's just, look, you know, if you're going to punish people for not wearing the mask, yet you're actually creating a hazard by doing that, because then they're just wearing something over their face. And they don't all know about how to deal with that face covering, whatever it is they have.
Right.
So,
and then plus at the beginning, I'm sorry for interrupting, but when it all started and the car cleaners wanted to wear masks, they were threatened by management. Management didn't want people to wear masks because they didn't want to scare the passengers. Right.
It's the truth. It's the truth. Operators, servicers, janitors. Yeah, and now it's like, whoa, now we're going to whoop you. And, of course, quite a few of the union officers' sentiment is we are like children, and the CTA can whip their children, and we don't tell anyone how to punish their children. And the sad thing is, like, well, Does punishment work? That's still debated, you know, just whipping your children. why are we children? We're not children. We're adults, and we are the engine that moves public transit in Chicago. We're not like robots.
Right.
You know, that you can like beat or whatever. Even animals, you shouldn't be beating up animals. So let alone human beings.
Right.
But yeah, so you think you know, maybe I wonder if any, let's see. I don't see any other calls here. So let's make a petition. So you're suggesting, how should we, what do you suggest we compose? How should this be composed?
Well, I don't know. And maybe we should ask more coworkers, what do they want to have on it? And how many things should be on it? If they want hazard pay, that seems to be a rallying cry. No discipline for not wearing the mask. None at all. Since you were going to, the CTA was trying to, you know what they did at the beginning. So there should be no discipline for not wearing a mask. And the hazard pay. And what else? Oh,
and,
like you were saying before, cleaning the buses and the trains.
Yeah. We want apprentices turned over, right?
Yeah, that's
full time
needed.
And then they can do that work, and you know, less waiting period too, the 6 months. And of course, you know, the excuses from the union office will be, well, these are contract issues. Well, the contract is expired, so this is a good thing to talk about, right?
Right. We're trying to organize people to fight back about whatever issues. And I also was thinking about this before the call. I don't know if people are going to want to bring it up, but I think it's the appropriate time for sure. What about the issue of racism? Well, people have said, the switchman used to say it, and I bet you the operators have said it too, if we were an all-white workforce, would some of this shit be happening? Like the low wages for the part-timers? Would that be happening?
Yeah.
So I think...
It's really, yeah. They say it all the time.
Go ahead.
Yo, you're right. They say it all the time. I hear it all the time.
So somehow that should be put in there. That should be part of the, well, this can't be part of a demand, but it should be a rallying cry. We know this is a racist attack, and it's been going on for decades. It's an attack against the black community, lowering the wages, contributes to crime, contributes to instability, contributes to poor health. I mean, the list, you know, goes on.
Yeah. Let me hang on there. I want to give the phone number, 515. If anyone's listening, we want you to call in and help us make this petition right now. Let's do this. Let's organize. Organize. 515-605-9885. 515-605-9885. If you don't want to talk, we also have a chat box. And you can put your opinion, your input there. 515-605-9885. And also, we got ChicagoTransitWorker.com, and go ahead and send us a message through there. We're also on Facebook, 3084 Justice Coalition. Let's get this going. And Kathy, what we'll do is we'll take what we do here on the show, and we'll also put it up online to pull in more feedback. So it's just starting with us. It's not gonna end with us.
Absolutely.
And the racism part is actually we're actually addressing it with the demands. So I think it's good to mention it somewhere in our description of the petition. You know what I mean? You know, and we can just we don't even have to declare it. We can say, have you ever noticed? Just like you said, you hear coworkers say, if we weren't a majority non-white workforce, that we would have better treatment. You know, we could just put it like that, you know. And then let people come to their own conclusion, right? Because some people will vehemently deny it, right? You know.
Yeah, I wonder why that is.
Well, you know, people have different experiences and their own, and they also have their own prejudices, right? So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, some people really, you know, I mean, think of it in religion, right? In religion, mm-hmm. a lot of us are brought up. I know I was brought up, you know, in the church, and it was just accepted that, you know, one of the sons of Noah was cursed, and he was black. Mm-hmm. He was made to be black. So people who aren't white are cursed. So they're inferior, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but it's actually baked into the societies
right.
in which we live, right? So
mm-hmm.
the value of people who have dark skin, and especially descendants of formerly enslaved Africans in the United States, black folks in the U.S. is just
mm-hmm.
dirt,
mm-hmm.
you know? I mean, it's...
Mm-hmm.
You see it. And,
right.
and see, I noticed, Kathy, we're also fighting that we're fighting with that among ourselves. And so I have to always ask my coworkers when they say that, I say, well, don't you think you're worth it?
Mm-hmm.
Do you,
mm-hmm.
you know, do you think you're just a number? Do you think just because of your dark skin that you're not worth, you know? Having dental as a part timer, or you're not worth having
mm-hmm.
a full time job doing this full time work, right? So
mm-hmm.
yeah, it's messed up. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. And that greed, you know, that feeds it too. Where that fear that if I stand up for someone less than me,
mm-hmm.
I'm gonna have to give up something of myself.
Mhm.
Mhm. I know this. So these demands. We got four demands so far. No punishment for not wearing a mask. Hazard pay. Apprentices turn over to full time. Less waiting period for them to 6 months. No more subcontracting for trains
mm-hmm.
and facilities.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you? I'm sorry for cutting you off. Did
no,
you
no.
read
yeah.
that? Did you read that article that Tom posted in the that 241? What is it called? I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Page, yeah, that mm-hmm. article where the union, where the whatever the union, TWU in New York said they weren't going to allow the city to cut their wages, and they were demanding also that they quit hiring people, quit contracting out, and use that's an interesting thing. It's happening in other places too.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
mm-hmm.
that's right. Mm-hmm. And see what they did is actually, I think they messed up, because the radical people in their union were calling
mm-hmm.
for that way back in April. They're like, we need to be out here because they're going to start
right.
threatening us with cuts, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they don't listen to them. They don't listen to the radical
right.
wing, right? Like, well, we're going to see what happens.
Right.
So here come the editorials. And the letters to the editor from all these people. Well, we're gonna have to. We're taking a shortfall. We're gonna have to lay people off. And like, oh my God.
Right.
You know. So
right.
so
right.
no, it's good. It's good, but I still think it's like it's sad that we wait. We wait
mm-hmm.
for the threat to come, as opposed to be prepared for the threat.
Right.
And then they get up, you know, people have I've had co. We have this thing now You know, I listen. I haven't been on the train operating for a month, but I still listen to the radio. And the control center, you know, which is directed by you know, a manager, the controllers mm-hmm. are asking train operators almost every hour for ridership update, right? Do you see, are there people at the platform, and is it light, moderate, or heavy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was thinking no more ridership updates because okay, compared to last year, yeah, it's light. But compared to last month, it's heavy, right?
Yeah, and why can't they just know that I can't think of what those cards are called. But don't they have a way to keep track?
Yeah. I mean, you got the venture company, and there's these cameras, right? These cameras all over the place. You know, don't stress out the controllers are union too. So you're stressing out them, making them ask these silly questions, right? And then we're on the radio, which no one likes to be on the radio, right? You just want to do your job. And then the operator has to be like, I have to count people and stuff. It's another distraction. They should just use their cameras and let their own managers go on the platform and you know, let them do it, you know, because I think it's a safety hazard. I'm sitting there like, no, I'm busy looking to see if people are if people are falling in between my platform and my train, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be looking like way out, you know, how many people are here. You know, I got an 8-car train and I'm at the end. So I was telling coworkers, look, y'all should just, you know, push back because we got to push back because this is just one more job description that we're not paid to do. Ridership updates. You know, so yeah, let's put that in our petition. We don't have a whole bunch of things, Kathy.
yeah. And first you'll do it online.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm hearing
it. And then I'm just gonna, cause next week I plan to start touring the terminal.
You still there? Eric, I can't hear you anymore.
All right, we're back on the air here. I got disconnected. My Google line cut me off, and I'm back. So we lost that. We missed, and Kathy got disconnected too. All these wonderful, wonderful things of technology. I wonder if it was done on purpose. And Kathy just sent me a message. And I'm just going to tell her, disconnected. Okay, everybody, give me one second. I apologize for this bug. All right, so everybody, we'll wind it up. We're going to wind it up here. And some very important things in you know, we were talking about organizing our unions, right, for action. And we have this wonderful article from the Labor Notes
and it's organized democratically, and it says that we put a lot of emphasis on the importance of leaders. But there's a flip side. Your coworkers sign your petition out of personal loyalty or trust, but if your agenda really isn't theirs, there are limits to how much you can get people to do. When people go to the mat, it's because they care about what and feel like it's their fight. They're part of a team steering the ship. So organizing democratically isn't just the right thing to do, it's the best thing to do. Democracy has a structural side. For instance, are stewards elected or appointed? Now, in Local 308, and I believe Local 241, they are selected. No, well, I'm going to say for 308, they're selected by the executive board. And that's one of the bylaw reforms we are pushing for. That is, stewards must be nominated by the membership and elected by the membership. Crucial to the success of our union. Is it hard for rank and filers, that's just the members, to meet the qualifications to run for office? Yes. Isn't it hard? You have to have 6 meetings each year for 2 years to run for office. If you're working, you've just been working at the CTA for a year and you want to run for union office, you need to wait another year. And you got to have 6 meetings. And that sure as heck makes it difficult if you don't live on the far south side, have your own transportation, or you live near the union office, where it's real easy to get there. You, this is the article, you can push to change these kinds of rules in your union's bylaws. So, this is what we're trying to do at the coalition. And that's why we need your support. We really need you to come out in October. We believe our bylaws, 18 of them, these bylaw reforms, will be ready for you to vote on. It's also going to be nominations for the elections. So bring people out and nominate them. And people want me to run for president. They want me to run for secretary. I said, go for it. Let's do it. Top seat, assistant board, whatever you think. But I'm not in it for that, although they say I am. So go ahead, whatever you want to do. But the program and the agenda is the same. Democracy in Local 308 does not exist. It does exist in a very primitive level, but it does not exist to the degree that the members have a real voice, and what they say matters. So we got this petition that Kathy and I drafted, and we're going to put it out so to get help from others. So we want everybody to participate in this petition, and we can start bringing it to the members and getting support. The article continues, democracy goes deeper than what the bylaws say. It's also about who's making the decisions, from the shop floor to the union-wide activities. People can tell when they're in charge and when they're not. And, you know, you can tell at Local 308 and definitely Local 241 that the people do not feel in charge of their union at all. They feel very disconnected. In fact, the union is the union, and we're the employees. And in some cases, the relationship with our union is purely transactional. Union is my lawyer. When I get in trouble, I give him a call. But the union is more about than getting in trouble and giving someone a call. It's about uplifting our communities, our nations, our worlds, our world so that people don't have to die in poverty. Not that we're all going to be rich. We don't need money as much as we need dignity. And dignity is you have a decent home, a clean place to live, clean food, a way to exercise and practice your talents and receive an income for the work that you do, an income that is fair, an income that allows you to grow and to support your family and build up your community. The union is more than just, I need a job. The union is about generations. That's how the unions have worked historically. Before I worked at the CTA, I knew when I made this career change from being a businessman, an entrepreneur who fell on some really hard times, combination of personal tragedies and bad decisions in business. And that's what, you know, when you're on your own boss, you got to take risks. And sometimes you crap out. But I knew I had to be in a union. And I researched the unions of the railroads and transportation. And I learned about how important and how deep the history is when it comes to the unions and how the unions are more than just a lawyer, just a transactional relationship. We are the unions. So the article says the rank and file reformers who were elected to lead the Chicago Teachers Union in 2010 took this principle to heart. Once they won office, they didn't tell everyone to go home and let them handle things. They pushed for more involvement, more debate. And that's the purpose of this show, and that's really the purpose of everything that you see me do, the little things that your little brother does, you know, visiting terminals, talking to coworkers, posting stuff online. I'm just trying to get coworkers to participate and to take lead. Because there's so many of you who've been here for many years, and you're brilliant. You got degrees. Some of you don't have degrees, but you got experience. It's worth more than a degree that you could get in school. And some of you all have this charisma, and you have followings. You are our potential leaders, but you've been beaten up. We've been told no. We've been said, elect me. We've been told by people, they say, elect me, and then go home, and I'll take care of it for you. I'll fight for you. I'll do this for you, and I'll do that for you. I'll turn you over full-time, CSAs, customer service assistants. You can't do anything. You, me, I can't do anything. But we can do a lot. And it's not that you follow me and what I want to do. But together we decide what we want to do. We organize democratically. And yes, some people who want certain things aren't going to get it. But then that'll be your turn. And if we have a problem with different crafts not getting their voices heard because there's not enough of them, for example, the trackmen are outnumbered by the trainmen, switchmen, and operators. And the operators outnumber the switchmen. The CAs are divided against each other, CSR, CSA. So we have to constantly work to try to find ways to ensure that everybody at whatever time, at different times even, can speak up what they want when it comes to working conditions, benefits, and wages. Sometimes the debate among us is rough and tumble, and it takes a lot of time. And like the CTU, the new CTU, which was reformed, like we're trying to reform our union at the Justice Coalition, The majority didn't necessarily agree, yet with everything the new leaders were putting forth, risky tactics, untested strategies like parent alliances, and the need to build towards a strike. If for us, we wouldn't necessarily have parent alliances, passenger alliances, because teachers know that without parents, you have no children. Without any children, you have no job. There's no one to teach. So we know in transportation at the CTA, PACE, Metra, Amtrak, CSX, Greyhound, whatever, we rely on carloads of stuff and carloads of people. And without people and without stuff, we have no jobs. Our alliances should be with the people who ride, who use our trains, all right, and buses, and paratransit vans. The leaders who wanted to radically transform their union recognized that they could only succeed if members owned the decisions. The members must be in charge of the union. This is what it's saying. The members must control the union. I don't care how smart you think you are and you're running for office. You are not smarter than all of us put together. Remember that. Nothing without us. You're just a humble, you're an honored servant. And if you don't like that word, being a servant, then you don't belong in elected office. Resign. If you can't handle that, resign. Unionism is at its core is about taking action together. That means including deciding what insurance, long-term disability we might do, or short-term, or whatever we do in our contract. Too often officers or staff present members with, here's the plan, are you in or are you out? Sometimes this may be necessary, but it's not optimal, and it will limit how committed members are to the action. It's much better to involve everyone in the process. It leads you there. The choice to be in or out evaporates when everyone was in from the beginning. That about wraps it up for us. That's the end. We extended this baby as long as we could. We apologize for the technical difficulties. And we'd love for you to participate in our shows. We will continue to be a voice of reason for you. But you can be a voice too. You are the union. We are the union. Peace.